blessing that we have, honey, that we can go to. It's the living word of God unto us. And we're thankful for it. Happy to see each other this morning. Just pray the Lord bless us all together in all matters that we have God in our life. Amen. So we thank you. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 46, verse 1 through 11. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are ever grateful and thankful for all that you do for us, Father, all that you have given unto us. Father, you love us and you continually be with us and bless us. Lord, if we fail you, you're still there. Lord, time and time again, you come unto us, Lord, and bless us. Lord, we remember those people in the Bible times. Lord, one generation, 40 years, Lord, they will go off and mess up, and time again, Lord, you'll come unto them and forgive them for what they have done, Lord, and bring them back to the fold. Lord, you're still doing us the same way this year and this hour that we live. Lord, if we fail, Lord, you still come back and forgive us, Lord, lift us up time and time again. Lord, we pray that we will come to the place that we will stop, Lord, and receive and be blessed by your word and live and walk in them. Lord, let us love everyone, those that we know love us and those that we know don't love us. Let us love them all. God, for you did so and gave your life on Calvary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. God is our refuge and strength, a very pleasant help in trouble.
Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be ruined, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea.
Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah.
There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early.
The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah.
Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth.
He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen. What an assurance to know that he's always that present help in the time of need. We can call upon his name. Amen. All the brothers who take the offering. You know, Brother Terrence, can you come up here and take the offering for us this morning? Everybody's out this morning. So we're just going to make you walk and get some steps this morning. Amen. Yes, Father. Yes, sir. Amen. Let's just sing that song, Coming Down. Amen. We're so thankful God has a table spread this morning. And he invites all his chosen people to come and dine. And it's up to you to eat this morning. It's up to you to take the word and apply it to your life. Amen. Oh, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed.
He invites his chosen people, come and die. With his manna he will feed and supplies our every need. Oh, to sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Oh, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the Thank you. stand in our brother comes this morning.
Somebody's hand and say, God bless you. Love you with the love of the Lord. Good to have you here today. God bless you, Brother Donnie. Bless you. Bless you, Brother Richard. Appreciate you. Bless you, brothers. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. That's some good worship. That's what we're looking for. Looking for some good worship. While we're standing, just remember next Sunday will be one service. Starting at 10 o'clock. So Brother Bob will be in. He'll be preaching next Sunday because I'm going to be here. So whoever's doing Sunday school will start at 10 o'clock. Go till 10:30. We're just pushing everything 50 minutes ahead and then continue on. As Brother Joe said today, if you have anything to do with the song service, you need to remain in the sanctuary just a few minutes so we can talk about the new way to... that we're going to extend the worship service some before and after, both. Get some worship in. Only have one service. Brother Bob is at Brother Dutch's today. Just pray for him. I'll be speaking this coming Wednesday. We got communion and foot washing this afternoon, second service. That's why we're having a second service today. Every first Sunday of the month, we'll have two services. That way, we'll have communion on the second service. Next Sunday, Brother Bob will be here. Me and Brother Boyd and Brother Anderson will be at the men's meeting in North Carolina with Brother Barry Coffey next weekend. So also remember, Brother Aaron, you'll be preaching on the 11th, Wednesday, middle of the week, right? And then on the 14th, we'll have a minister's meeting here. For all you ministers that want to come or you're watching in, it'll be at 10 o'clock on Saturday, the 14th. We hadn't had a minister's meeting here in about 5 years, I think it was. So we're going to try to start having those again and get in the rotation. So just keep that in your heart. The next weekend, the 21st, we'll announce this a little more. Brother Solomon Huffman will be here for our youth service. It'll be the last youth service we do before end of the year. Then we'll start again next year. And Brother Darrell Ward will be here in January. We've already got that scheduled. You know, we're talking about the No Messenger to the Age, and I've been looking at some Azusa Street people that have come out. I know all of you know Smith Wigglesworth. All right. Great, powerful man of faith. He actually came from England over here to the Azusa Street Revival to see what was going on. So the Azusa Street Revival, we've been talking about 1906, started. The Holy Ghost fell on a group of people, and that started the Pentecostal revival that we should still be under now. Amen. But I want to read to you what Smith Wigglesworth, I read to you the other day what he said, but listen to what his methods were. Now, remember, he's a great man of faith. He even told a man that had one leg, he said, go buy you a pair of shoes. It's in his book. He said, go buy a pair of shoes. Well, he limps into the shoe store with one leg, sits down, tells the guy what size shoe he wants. By the time the man got back, that man's got 2 feet. So that's God. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Even in Smith Wigglesworth, wasn't even a prophet. Okay? Let's slow down a little bit. Listen to it. His methods often involved hitting, slapping, punching the afflicted part of the body. Amen. I'll come up here for prayer for your head. On a number of occasions, his approach to persons suffering from stomach complaints was to punch them in the stomach, sometimes with such force it propelled them across the room. Anybody got stomach trouble today? Okay, see, they're healed already. When challenged on this, his response was, I don't hit them, I hit the devil. Responding to criticism over his method, Wigglesworth said, you might think by the way I went about praying for the sick that I'm unloving and rough. But, oh, friends, you have no idea what I see behind the sickness and the one who is afflicted. I am not dealing with the person. I'm dealing with the satanic forces that are binding the afflicted. The only difference in Smith Wigglesworth being under Reformation, my point is, Brother Branham could stand and tell you where the disease was. He didn't have to hit you in the stomach. He knew where the disease was, called it out, discerned it, knew it by another dimension, where Smith Wigglesworth was just working. If my stomach hurts, I'm going to punch the devil out of it. On one occasion, Wigglesworth declared to the sick, I'll only pray for you once. To pray twice is unbelief. The second night, a man approached the altar to receive the prayer again, and Wigglesworth recognized him and said, boy, it must embarrass a lot of us. Didn't I pray for you last night? You are full of unbelief. Get off my platform. Oh, and we think we're rough. But he had results. I mean, he got results. Be timid, the devil will be all over us. So let's bow our heads just for a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for the time that you've set aside, Lord, for us to have service. Lord, you said where two or three are gathered together, you'll be in their midst. So, Lord, I believe there's more than two or three today that want to hear from you, Father. So, Lord, as they pull on the gift, Lord, may they pull on you, not this human man that has many, many faults and failures, Lord, but pull on the gift that's inside, Lord. I pray that you'd touch each one, Lord. Pray for the ones that are sick, that are not here, Mom, different ones, Lord, Sister Johnny and Sister Mary and all the ones that we pray for on a daily basis, Father. I pray that you'd touch their hearts, Father, and touch their bodies. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us and further in this service. Be with Brother Luis. Sometimes we don't pray, but Brother Luis is back there, Lord, doing the best he can to get the message to our Hispanic group. Lord, I pray that you'd bless him. Bless them, Lord, for their efforts for coming. And we appreciate them, Father. We appreciate all you've given us, Lord. And we thank you, Father. Be with us in the furtherment of this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, we went at Brother Donald's house last night. And Brother Donald, raise your hand. Everybody know who you are. Okay. We went and dedicated his house yesterday. So I told him, I said, so much Mexican food, I'll be burping all day tomorrow. So, man, but it was good, though. Oh, it was good. That was a good feast. So now we're still looking at No Messenger of the Age. I want to bring out something this afternoon, though, and Brother Ryan hit on it today that sparked something else that we need to look at. Brother Ryan said that the Pentecostal revival in 1906 was a restoration of the gifts. Well, now, the greatest gift is what Brother Ryan read. It's the love of God given us Jesus Christ so that we can love him. And he already loved us before the foundation of the world. Remember, he can't unlove you. Don't ever say, God don't love me no more. No, he can't love you no less either. If he ever loved you to the beginning, he loves you now. All right? That's the devil talking to you. But we have been promised a restoration of the gifts. And I want to say to this church, he promised us the restoration of the gifts. Because I'll read to you this afternoon where Brother Branham said the gifts were given to the church to keep them clean. To keep all the garbage out. Keep all the unbelief out. Keep all the things as you bring those nine spiritual gifts in. It don't have to always be speaking in tongues. That's the lowest of the gifts. The greatest gift is wisdom, prayer, faith. All those different things that we have in the church working, that we do have the gifts working in the church. But if we don't have speaking in tongues and interpretation, everybody says, well, you don't have the gifts. No, no, no. There's nine of them. Amen. And they're shown in different ways. And we'll look at it this afternoon. If you'll bear with me today, we'll get to that. So Joel 2, verse 23 said, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord. Now remember, this is the scripture that Peter read on the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Ghost fell back there, this is what he read. All right. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month. Now we'll get into the former and latter rain, but remember what former rain, what does a rain do? A rain brings something up. All right. Now the first rain, which is the former rain, is the teaching rain. It's the planting of the seed. You got to plant something for it to grow. You can rain a flood. I planted some food plot stuff yesterday, and man, it got some rain last night. Praise God for the rain. Amen. And it'll come up because it's going to have rain on the seed that's been planted. And then the latter rain or the harvest rain should happen sometime in around November so that everything will boom up to maturity, and then you can harvest it. So that's the former rain. Brother Branham said the former rain is the teaching rain. The latter rain is the harvest rain. So we need the former rain teaching because the latter rain is catching us out of here. That's where you bind all the tares together. That's where you bind all the wheat together. Wheat goes into rapture. Tares stays here. All right? Everybody with me on that? So that's what the former, and we'll get to that. Because Brother Branham, he preached both. But we are to manifest both. Because he hadn't took a rapture. Not yet. All right? Or the harvest rain. The harvest rain has to come from somebody standing here. Somebody standing in this dimension. All right, I've got you standing too long. I'm sorry. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years the locust eat, the cankerworm, caterpillar, pommel worm, my great army, which I sent among you, which is what? To eat the word down during the ages. We'll talk about that a little bit this afternoon. And ye shall eat in plenty. Who is ye? Ye, my people. God's people. He's talking about Israel, but we are the people of God. All right? And praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dwelt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Are you ashamed to be a Christian today? No, I am not. I am not ashamed to be a Christian. And if you stand for him now, he'll stand for you then. It shall come to pass afterward, look, after that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Everybody with me on that? Now listen, the way it's written is the way it means. Anybody can receive the Holy Ghost now. They couldn't in the Old Testament. They couldn't when Jesus was here. Amen? It was barred. It was under bulls and goats. It was a substitute. But when the fullness of time come, when Jesus died and come back, he said, I'm coming back to get inside of you. And I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And then also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. So it doesn't matter who you are. If you want the Holy Ghost today, he's getting ready to pour it in you. All right? And upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. You may be seated. Lord, add his blessing to the reading of the word. I thought that was pretty powerful about Smith Wigglesworth. And also even Brother Brown talks about F.F. Bosworth. F.F. Bosworth was there on Azusa Street. Thank you. They need another one? One of them must not be working. One's not working. It's okay? Okay. All right, Acts 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now, we know what Pentecost is. It's 50. The Holy Ghost fell on 50 days after the death of Jesus. Okay? After the Passover. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house that they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like fire. All right, we'll get into that maybe this afternoon. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the gifts were not just restored in the first church age, in the first Pentecostal age, they were developed. Because you hardly had anybody speak in tongues except maybe prophets or maybe somebody, Caiaphas. He prophesied. But this is an overall, this is an outpouring on AD 30 was on 120 and on 3,000. Now in 1906, it went from a few to millions. I think they calculated 600 million people came out of that 1906. So he poured out his Spirit upon all flesh. That was God's promise. He's going to give it to everybody. Amen. That wants it. Right. It wasn't just for a select few. Right. But there was just a select few back then, because remember, you and I are under the age of rapid intelligence and also rapid information. If you want information today, punch a button. All you got to do, Google it. Ask Siri. Right? They didn't have that. They had to physically take the word. They didn't even have a Bible. They had to take the word in their heart. That's why I understand from reading back in the history and when we were coming through there with Constantine and the different ones, that's why it got all scrupled up. Man could say this over here, and he started doctrine, and there'd be no way to know it until it came around to somebody else. So there's where you got your divisions from. There was nothing to fight it with. Well, today we have something to fight it with. Today, false doctrine needs to be taken care of. Amen? And we have something to take care of it with. Amen? The Word of God, all of it, and then the Amplified Version of 1,160 sermons that Brother Branham preached. All right? I just believe that. He's a divine revealer of the Word of God. That's what Brother Branham is, not was. He's still alive. If y'all don't mind me saying that, he's not in this dimension, but he's more alive now than he was then. So we started with a Pentecostal revival over there on right at the beginning, right before Paul comes on the scene. There was a Pentecostal revival. Paul was not in it. We'll read it in a minute. We read it Wednesday night. Paul's not in it. Or whatever last night I preached, one time I preached. Pentecostal revival over there in the beginning. Paul was not a part of that. Paul was a church age messenger to Ephesus. All right? But there had to be a Pentecostal age, because remember, God's in the lap over. So there's lap from the Old Testament to the New Testament. All right? That's why you had to have John the Baptist to be there to transition the hearts of the fathers to the Pentecostal babies, or the ones on 1906, not 1906, but 8030. But then you look over here, if that's the Alpha Bride, and it began out of a Pentecost, all right, then we're the Omega Bride. We're the Omega Bride here. Alpha's over there. They started with the Pentecost. Then we had to have a Pentecost right here. And think of it. Brother Branham couldn't have come out of a Methodist revival. He had to wait till the restoration of the gift so that people would know that there was gift to get. Now listen, John Wesley, I'm sorry, I'm speaking slow. They're telling me to slow down. Okay, thank you, Regina. I couldn't see Christine in the back, so Regina's doing it now. Just slow down. Yeah, slow down. I don't want Brother Luis to miss anything. I'm sorry. So just bear with me. Not that I'm trying to think. I'm trying to stop for a second. Okay. So on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost fell. Now, we'll look at it in a minute. The Holy Ghost fell on that day of Pentecost on two different groups of people. All right? Two different groups of people. We'll get to that in a minute. Now, what happened, though, in 1906, it fell on one group of people. Is everybody with me? But they were babies. They didn't know how to use the gifts. They didn't know how to use them. Brother Brown told them. Pentecostal babies. All right? So we'll get to that. But remember, they matured. They matured because how did the ones at 3,000 in AD 30, how'd they mature? God sent a prophet, Paul. All right? Then in the end time, you had Pentecost. It was true. The baptism of the Holy Ghost was their leader. All right? Parham was the spokesman, and Seymour was the spokesman, but the Holy Ghost fell himself to bring the gifts back. Right. Then God sent a prophet to straighten everything else out. Amen. Just like he did over here. Because remember, in Peter's age and all those different ones, you still had people back in the Old Testament. Come on. Until AD 70, they were still having sacrifices in Jerusalem in the temple because the temple was still there. But in AD 70, Titus destroyed it, took the temple away, and that's why they're building it back now. The Jews have to have a temple to worship God. But God has a temple now to worship in, to worship with and in and through. Is everybody with me on that? All right? That's why he said, I'll pour out my spirit not on all buildings. He said, I'll pour it out on all flesh. That's why you're going to have... We won't get to it today, but next week or the week after, you got anointed ones. They're anointed with that same true Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost. It just falls on their spirit realm. Don't go down into their soul. It just anoints them. Which can come off and come on and come off and come on. But remember, on the day of Pentecost, that pillar of fire didn't come off those people. It went in those people. And when you receive the Holy Ghost now, it doesn't just come on you. It goes inside of you. And it burns. There's fire there that burns all that out. We'll get to that in just a little bit. So what does God promise? That we have a covenant that used to be back over there. The fathers in the Old Testament. They were the old prophets, the Isaiah and all the different ones. What did they do, though? They prophesied of a time coming. All right? Now, also remember, Brother Branham was a prophet, too. He prophesied of a time coming. He was working in the astronaut age, but he didn't see all the astronauts. This is the astronauts right here. Most of you weren't even born when he died in 1965. Right? So you were that thought he was prophesying of. If he saw a vision of the bride, he saw you if you're bride. All right, everybody with me? That's why we're current modern day believers. We're not like the Azusa Street. They had flaws. I said they. The Holy Ghost don't have flaws. But they had flaws. And they continued to have flaws all the way through, even in early Pentecost when Brother Branham came on the scene in the 40s. They would stand up and start speaking in tongues. They start shouting right in the middle of a service. You've seen it. You've read it. And Brother Brown didn't say anything until after a while. Why? They were Pentecostal babies. But he knew that it was a real Holy Ghost fell on them. Yes. Remember those two guys that he went to visit? One of them got up and spoke in tongues, and the other one got up and prophesied. And it was right. But he said, I discerned that one man was true, and that other man was living with another woman. Right? That's how I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You can get caught up in emotion and forget about the word of God. But you can't have the word of God without having some kind of emotion. Because it stimulates you. Because remember, if it fell on them and they shouted and spoke in tongues, in 1906, they caught it and started speaking in tongues. I'm not saying speaking in tongues is the evidence. You know that. We've been taught different. But we'll talk about it this afternoon. If it's a gift from God, it's something you need to use. Because it's a gift from God. If I give you a gift, I give Brother Donnie an oil lamp or something that he don't even have any. I mean, he'll just sit up there and draw dust. I wasn't going to say that, Sue sitting there. But he'll sit up there and draw dust. Why? Because it's a gift I give him, but it's not pertinent to what he was. Now, if I give him a gun, like he's given me a few, they're put up in the safe, and they're safekeeping. That was a gift. Now, if God gives you a gift, it's perfect. The giver is perfect. The gift is perfect. It's how you use it. Amen. You can use it right, or you can just quench the spirit and never use it at all. But we all will give an account for that. For there was a tabernacle made. The first room was a candlestick, the table, the shewbread. Remember, that's sanctification. And after the second veil, when you go into the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the Holy of Holies. So now what is the outside with the candlestick, the table, the shewbread? That is your spirit realm. Everybody with me? Remember, we are a three room, and we have a body, spirit, and a soul. Your body, outer court. Your spirit, inner court. But the soul is the Holy of Holies. That's where God is or is not.
Amen.
They're not both in there at the same time.
Amen.
Either you're born again today or you're not. There's no in between. Now, there's a journey. There's a journey to that. Just keep going. Keep believing. Keep having faith. Be a believer. Believe in what God's already said. He said he'd give you the Holy Ghost, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid with gold. There was manna there that God created, and Aaron's rod that budded, which God created the buds and the almonds. And then God wrote the two tables that went into the ark. So that's a God thing when you go into there. Second realm, man, when you get all these emotions, memory, reason, conscious affection, and imagination, and all that goes to rolling around in our head. God is not in that. Hello?
Amen.
Unless it's pertinent to what's in the deep inside of you. When that deep inside of you comes out, it's, if it's God, it's got to be God. If it's the devil, it's got to be the devil. It can't be two. It can't be both. How can you take, the Bible says, a good thing out of an evil thing? How can you get good water out of a bad well? Can't do it. So now listen. To get started here, the 80-30, I'm going to refer to them as 80-30 Holy Ghost. That was the 120 in the upper room that Jesus had been with for 3.5 years. They were with him on almost every service. They were with him. He told them things. But it started in Isaiah 53 as a promise. He shall see the travail of, he's talking about he, God, the travail of Jesus' soul, which is the same person. Shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Those who he's justified, he's what? He's already glorified. All right? So he had to start with justification, for he shall bear their iniquities. What we were talking about in justification, you can't justify yourself. There's no way you can justify yourself. But I, that's justifying yourself. No, I like what Louise says, but God. But God said, see, let God justify us. If he's the justifier, if he's just and the justifier, and he's the judge and he's the jury, we got no problem. I wish it was that simple, but we do have problems because we get in the way. But I. So now Romans 3 verse 30, Paul tells us sin is one God which shall what? Which shall justify the circumcision by faith. All right. He's talking about the Jews and the uncircumcision, which is the Gentiles, through faith. So you got to go through something. He knew the Gentiles would have to go through something. He had to what? Put away the Israel to get the Gentile church, the uncircumcised. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. You can't do away with the law. God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. And as somebody said here not too long ago, if you got the Holy Ghost, you're the only one that can live the law. You can live that law to the letter. Amen? Because why would he write it if we couldn't live it? He knew they couldn't live it, but he had to give them something to guide them through so that there could be a judge or a judgment in the Old Testament until the righteous judge came and died for us and justified all of us. If you'll accept it. Okay? Kind of simple faith, but that's the way it starts. Then Jesus, in John 17, he's talking to the Father. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So how are we going to be sanctified? As Brother Ryan says, if we don't read our Bible, that's what sanctifies us. The washing of the water of the word. All right? That or a fivefold ministry that tells you what the Bible says. All right? Don't change it. Tell it what it says. And when you do and you conform to that, then that sanctifies us. Remember, sanctification is a process. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. As thou hast sent me into the world. Now watch, see, he's going to equip us because he's going to send us into the world. He's not going to put us out here and make us powerless. No. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. So he had to give them something to work with. Listen, he was the justifier. He was the sanctifier. And he had the Holy Ghost inside of him when he was walking on earth as a human being. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. You say, I can't do it. He promised you he'd help you do it if you let him do it. Even for their sake, I sanctify myself. He set himself apart just for me and you. He could have had a wife, Brother Brown said. Hello? He could have had all these things, but he sacrificed all that to show you a sanctified life, a Nazarite vow that he took, that we as a Christian should take that same Nazarite vow just as he did, to stay clean. But sometimes we don't stay clean. We let the human part get involved. That's why we're going to talk this afternoon. That's why God give gifts to the church. One thing and one thing only is to keep the church clean. That's it. Now there's exhortation and there's all these different, but most of the gifts are given to keep the church clean. And then Brother Brown said, that's why Jesus is not here. I'll read it this afternoon. It's because he hasn't come back because the church is not ready. But oh my, we get upset trying to get ready. But we're going to get ready. God's going to have a church without spot or wrinkle. I promise you that. I'm not going to promise you that. I say that's thus saith the Lord because it's come out of the Bible. Without spot or wrinkle. For their sake I sanctify myself. That they also might be sanctified through the truth. That's why Brother Branham had to restore everything back to the truth first. Then the gifts come. And the gift that he had was perfect. Because it was the Holy Ghost himself, the person of Jesus Christ, standing inside of Brother Branham, telling those people what their problem was. Never failed one time. Neither pray I for these alone, watch this, but for them also which shall believe on me through the words of the people that I sanctify. For them also which shall believe. That's us. On me through their word. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And you reading the word of God. And you listening to the tapes. And you reading books. John 20 verse 21. Then Jesus said to them, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now remember, up here we talk about Jesus has justified. He sanctified them through thy truth. So we went through justification and sanctification. That's what the apostles in AD 30, they're under that ministry. We come down to the end of his ministry, though, and he's getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to walk off the earth and go into another dimension. Jesus is. Watch. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, remember, they did not receive it then. Because it was all wound up in Jesus. Hello, I'll read it again. I got a quote for it, okay? Okay? That's what Brother Brown said. Well, I believe it too. Because he had to go away. He was in that body. I was thinking the other day, Brother Gary, Jesus was trapped. God was trapped in a body cast called flesh. That's what he was trapped in. He couldn't get out unless he died. So that body cast that was holding all that together had to die to release the life. Well, right here, he's getting ready to release it because he's coming back on the day of Pentecost and give them the Holy Ghost that was inside of him. Then he could be in multiple places at one time. Me, you, and everybody else. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit. Look how powerful this message is. Amen. Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. I like this. In the Greek lexicon, that word breathe, or breathe on them, it's only used two times in the Bible for that definition. To blow or breathe upon, where Jesus, after the manner of the Hebrew prophets, expressed by the symbolic act of breathing upon the apostles. Now see, the symbolic act, they even know it was a symbolic act, okay? The apostles, the communication of the power of the Holy Spirit to them. This word used only once by the, whatever that is, 20-something translators in Genesis 2:7, where God breathed on Adam. And he became a living soul. Amen. Just as the original creation was completed by an act of God, so to the new creation was completed by an act from the head of the new creation. And if y'all been around here long enough, Brother Dale preached many, many sermons on born by the breath of God. Amen. That's what we are born again. When you're born again, you're born by the breath of God. Not the breath of the devil, the breath of your mom and daddy, you're born by the breath of Almighty God. So they were what? Adam was too. He started the generation. And now he's going to end the generation by putting that same breath inside of a group of people. And then what do? We breathe it back out. We can say to people, Brother Dale can say many, many times, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Brother Dick, Brother Al, and all the different ones that came in under his ministry. They heard the word of God. Brother Collie, Brother Darty, different ones. They heard the word of God. They were born by the breath of God. Not the breath of Samuel Dale, but by the breath of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. But it had to come through the body. It had to come through the body. You can't just hear the wind blow. You got to hear it from somebody. And that's the way God set it up. Because the gift he gave us, the greatest five gifts he gave us, was apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. That's the greatest gift he ever gave us. Because that's the only one. Now, either all those gifts, the nine spiritual gifts, tells you that it'll help you and it'll do all these things for you, right? But the Bible says in Ephesians that he gave you those five spiritual gifts to perfect you. Amen. They didn't get perfected by the gifts back in Pentecost. You get perfected by the word of God through a fivefold ministry. It's the only way you're going to get perfected. Amen. Dear Brother Branham, what's the difference when Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, and when they had to go to the upper room to tarry? It was a promise he gave them. Breathed upon them his promise and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. It was a promise. But they had to go to the upper room to wait for the promise to be fulfilled. Amen. The same thing is when we lay hands upon you to be healed. Then you go on about your business waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. If we have time this afternoon, there's divine healing and there's miracle healing. Divine healing is a process. Instant healing is something fall off or instantly your back quit hurting or whatever. But sometimes healing takes time. Amen. That's what the Bible says, and that's what Brother Brown said. Remember the two sisters? Remember they didn't get anything on the prayer line. But a week later or after the meeting, right? They lived in the same community. And one just jumped up, and whatever it was, they were healed. And she ran to the other one, and the other one was screaming, running around the kitchen. You know what Brother Brown said, right? He said the healing angel went through their community that day. What a mighty God we serve. The healing, they weren't praying in the closet and doing all their, no, they were going about their duty. He said the healing angel remembered that promise and just went right through and healed them. Both of them in the same community. What a mighty God we serve. So now the upper room, Jesus tells them in Luke 24 before he leaves, he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued, or what? Or be sunk into with power from on high. So when that day of Pentecost come, that became a reality. There came a sound of heaven, from heaven, a rushing mighty wind filled all the house. And there appeared cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one. And you remember what happened. But now remember, that was one group of people. That was 120 that had been tutored by all that I just read you. They'd heard that for 3.5 years, every day, day in and day out. They put their faith that Jesus justified them, sanctified them, and when they come to the day of Pentecost, boom. Peter stands up and says what? This is that. Amen. That I read you in Joel. I read you the same thing Peter read you 2,000 years ago. Right. And what did it do? It pricked 3,000 people's heart. 3,000 people heard that sermon. And the word from the Old Testament was quickened to a group of people standing in the brand new Testament. Because remember, the testament's not enforced till the testator's dead. So God had to, Jesus had to die. God can't die. Jesus died. Amen. So there had to be a new testament. That's what we're today. We're going to take communion. He's going to say, this is what? The new testament in my blood. This is something new. But it's a testament that I'm going to come back. And I'm going to dwell with you, and you take this in remembrance of me. So if you don't take it, then you must have a remembrance of something else. I'm sorry. You must have a remembrance of something else. Because to take communion is to remember what Christ did for us. And if he hasn't done that for you, you got time. Repent. Come to the Lord. Take communion. But now remember, there was other people dwelling in Jerusalem, devout men of every nation. Remember, it was the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is a big feast, and everybody from all nations came in. Thank God the Holy Ghost fell, because it fell on 120, and then they preached to 3,000, and then they went out into their countries and took the Holy Ghost with them. Instead of having to send the Holy Ghost to these and that and the other, all the ones that we read here, they're just, several nations were there. And God then, through Peter, freshly anointed by the Holy Ghost, freshly received by the quickening power of the Holy Ghost, Peter, all those words were quickened to Peter that Jesus said. Come on, Brother Brown said the Holy Ghost fell on sons in that upper room. They become mature really, really quick. How could Peter tell us to do this right here if he hadn't already made it? Hello? You can't teach somebody something you don't know anything about. And they were all amazed. It was noised abroad. And this thing just went out a minute. Some were confounded because they heard their native tongue spoken by somebody that wasn't part of their community or part of their nation. That'd be like me speaking today, and Brother Luis didn't have to interpret. They're hearing me in Spanish. You're hearing me in English because you're part of my culture, my ethnicity. But they were hearing their... See, so it's not the speaking. It's the hearing. Amen. Faith doesn't come by speaking. Faith comes by hearing. Amen. That created such a faith in those people. So they said... There was a group over here that didn't believe it, though. They said, oh, they're just drunk. Yeah. Well, yeah, they were. They were drunk on the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Amen? That ain't bad to be that way. Yeah. Amen? But then there's a group over here that says, man, that does something to my heart. The Bible said it pricked your heart, right? In other words, you feel a little. How many of us have felt that, though, in a meeting, though, where the Holy Ghost was inside of you already, but yet you heard false doctrine? Oh, many times. I'm sorry to say, but many times you hear somebody say something and you go, there's some little something that pinches at your heart. It's just something's not right about that. And even in situations in your life, if you've not been through situations in your life where something says, don't go down that road. Don't do that. Go this way. Or don't say this, say that. Amen. See, there's people, children that are led by the Spirit of God. They're the sons and daughters of God. You say, I'm nothing. You're a powerhouse. You all are a powerhouse if you got the Holy Ghost. You got more power in you than you ever will know. You can create a world and go live on it. But I don't want to live by myself. I'll tell you one thing. If you're on an island by yourself, you put yourself there. So anyway, how hear we every man? That was the whole question. It wasn't the tongue speaking. It was the hearing. How is this miracle happening? That I'm hearing, I'm watching his mouth move in English, but I'm hearing him in Spanish. But Peter, now watch, standing up with the 11. Remember, Peter was the spokesperson. All right, he spoke on the day of Pentecost. But remember, he wasn't a prophet. Come on, he wasn't a prophet. Because he even said in his own writings, he said, Paul says things hard to be understood. So Paul was like here, being a church age messenger, having the Holy Ghost, being a prophet. He was the divine reveal of the word. Peter was not. But Peter knew his position. Peter didn't say, bless God, Paul, I don't agree with nothing you said. No. When Peter and Paul met each other, they had the same doctrine. But Peter standing up with the 11, I hope that happens 2 weeks from yesterday. Well, we're going to have about 30 preachers in this building. Praise the Lord. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you and hearken to my words. These are not drunken men as you suppose, seeing it's just the third hour of the day, which was 9 o'clock in the morning, I believe it was. But this is that which was spoken by Joel. He took it right straight to Scripture. And whether they understood that Scripture or not, they knew there was something going on. And it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. I read this just a little while ago. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when he got finished preaching that sermon, they said, men and brethren, what can we do to receive what you just got? Man, when somebody receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that ought to just, you just become one again. You become one. It ought to be that. All right? So you wonder whether it's the Holy Ghost or not. I mean, there are ghosts. This one's holy. Hello, somebody. The devil's a spirit too, you know. He's a spiritual being. So now look, there was no messenger to the first outpouring of the Holy Ghost, so there's not going to be a messenger to the second outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Parham and William Seymour were the spokesperson. They stood up and said, this is that. This is what we've been waiting for. This is it. The Holy Ghost fell on those two people, and then it started a revival. But remember, just as the revival started in AD 30, there was still a bunch of people that were in the Old Testament, because remember, the thing that Peter and Paul had a problem with, it wasn't doctrine. But Peter was taking the circumcised word of God. We've been circumcised. All you over there, you ain't been circumcised, you go sit over there. Now Paul rebuked him and said, there, it's not circumcision or uncircumcision anymore. It's uncircumcision of the heart. You quit shunning them people. Quit shunning them Gentiles. That's my people too. Because he was a prophet. He was a what? He wasn't a reformer. So now we got the spokesman now, which is Seymour. William Seymour and Parham. So the same pattern is in this age. No messenger, but Brother Branham come as a prophet on the scene, as a divine revealer, not of the gifts. He didn't reveal the gifts. The gifts were already revealed. He revealed how to use them and tie up all the loose ends. Listen, we got a message that's perfect. Man's the one that's messed it up. But this message is perfect. Because it didn't come from God. It was God. It was God speaking. The voice of God for the end time was the voice of God. Sorry. Sorry, Luis. You're supposed to say slow down. Okay. I just enjoy doing this. I'm sorry, I do. Amen. So Brother Branham said, look, justification is a work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is a work. Now, remember, justification in Martin Luther's day was the Holy Ghost for that day, right? God was pleased, but God moved on. So justification now won't get you in the body of Christ. It'll get you cleaned up. When you put your hand down, I'll talk. She's going. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit, all right? But the baptism is the Holy Spirit. That's why you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every day of your life on your spirit. Go to church, read your Bible, pray, listen to tapes. But somewhere you're going to tell what you are on the inside. Sometime it's going to pop right up, and you can't help it because this is the age of revelation. Everything will be made known. If the seals are open, the Bible's open, our lives are open. That's why the gifts come into the church, to keep it clean. Keep that garbage out. That's the reason it took a prophetic prophet, who? Brother Branham, to come down. No messenger to the age of Pentecost, because the Holy Ghost came himself in the fullness of the baptism. But at the end of the age, remember, the messenger comes at the end of the age, right? So here comes Parham and Seymour at the end of the Methodist age, brings in a Pentecostal revival. They revive until about 1915, 16, 17, 18. Remember, Brother Branham doesn't come on the scene until 47. But remember, he's preaching in 33. Because he's Baptist. Remember, he starts as a Baptist. Then he evolves. We'll read it this afternoon. It evolves through that into the Pentecostal. That's the only ones that would accept him because he had a gift. He had a gift. They couldn't deny the gift. They didn't like the word that he preached. But they couldn't deny that gift when he would stand there and say, the doctor's got on a blue coat, and you're in a green room, and he's got a stethoscope in his hand, and you've got a blue dress on. I mean, he's so specific. They couldn't deny that. But they denied the word. They took the gift over the giver. That's the Pentecostal problem. They took the gifts and said, whoop, this is it. Oh, it doesn't matter if I got, you know, like Brother Bram said, you got a temper to fight a buzzsaw or you commit adultery, but you can speak in tongues. You got it. No, you don't got it. Thank God for a what? A divine revealer, a prophet to come on the scene and put that thing right in order. But at the end of the age, it was always ends up the others. We find the messenger was sent. All these scruples, what? All the faults. All the scruples. God don't have scruples. We have scruples. And things are to be placed in their place, see, like that. Then the rapture comes for the church. Now, remember, Paul wasn't at Pentecost, but he said he should have been. Brother Brandon wasn't at Pentecost, but he said he should have been. Everybody with me on that? So now, look. He didn't deny Pentecost. He said it was a place that had to be. It was a restored Pentecost, back to the same thing, the same signs, the same message. Amen. There you are. All right, real quick. Now, we talk about the ones downstairs. Now, remember, the ones downstairs, when I say downstairs, they were in a, thank you, somebody's an upper, they were in an upper room. So there was no elevators back then, no escalators back then, so they were stairs, and they had to come down. So they came down to the 3,000 and preached to them. So the Holy Ghost had already fell on 120. They were having a Pentecostal revival. These people down here didn't even know where there'd be a. There was even a group of people after that that was in the Bible that says, we don't even know there'd be a Holy Ghost, right? House of Cornelius or something. We don't even know anything about this Holy Ghost. But we sure feel good. Amen. What had happened? Paul or Peter, one, had to come there with the Holy Ghost inside of them to breathe on them. It's how important to have the Holy Ghost in your soul, the person of God. All right, real quick. So in A.D., what I mean back then, the Holy Ghost fell on 120 mature. They were word-tutored. Everybody with me? Because this is going to be important when we get to Malachi. Then there was 3,000 babies heard one powerful sermon. They were pricked in their heart and said, men and brethren, what must we do to have what you got? Now, what's the first thing Peter said? Go find you a message church and start listening to tapes and reading books. No, he said, repent. Repent. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. See, he was a spokesman. He was telling, he wasn't telling them something that they did, that was so new that they thought, well, now the Jesus said Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Peter was telling them exactly what he said. And they accepted it. Hello? They accepted it. And they were baptized. They baptized 3,000 people in one day. It took a lot of them 120 to help. To baptize 3,000 people. That's twice as many people lives in this city. Because there's only 1,500 lives in Lula. All right? So now, Azusa Street, what did the Holy Ghost fall on? It fell on children that didn't know anything about this, putting it together. And they didn't know nothing about a prophet's message. They didn't know anything about a seventh angel message that was here, that was coming. Right? They didn't know anything about that. They just knew this is that. They got the Holy Ghost. They started speaking in tongues. They started prophesying. And as Brother Joe, we were talking about that before the church. He went to a funeral the other day, and most of them were women preachers. Well, most of this Pentecost Azusa Street were sisters. A lot of them. Well, don't get quiet on me. I can tell you by history. But remember, when a prophet comes, he's a divine revealer of the word. That's why he kept telling them, women, don't preach. They should have read the Bible, number one. But they got so caught up in the gifts, see? You can get so caught up in the gifts till you forget the giver. You forget, he said, you can't have gifts over the word of God. But Brother Branham put them both together. Gave us the word and the gifts and put them in order. So Azusa Street, now we're at 1906. It fell on children. I'll read you a quote. Brother Brown said, babbling Pentecostal babies. They didn't like that. But you know what? He didn't pull no punches when it come to here. But would come to maturity through the prophet's message. Those that stayed in Pentecost, they stayed there. Remember Brother Brown said, they wanted to stay in the horse and buggy, but we're in the astronaut age. They wanted to stay in the automobile, but we're in the astronaut age. That was a group of people that stood there, and they didn't get mature. It wasn't that they weren't born-again believers either. They just didn't move on with God. He replies to somebody that the Holy Ghost is the same as it was. You can't have two different Holy Ghosts. You got one Holy Ghost. All right? Brother Bram said, look, now look, but that predestinated seed don't ask no questions. This is 1962. It's thoroughly convinced that it's God moving according to his promise in the Bible. A little farther up the road, really, than Azusa Street, we should be. All right, he's fixing to call them Pentecostal babies. Even the angel called them Pentecostal babies. The angel that was with Brother Branham? Don't get quiet, you ought to know that. When that vision came, he was fishing, got all tied up, he said, you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. The church should be up here. Here it started with a weeping, crying, and coming into God. And it fell away. And here's something up here that the church should be up to meet it. When he's talking about up there. But yet they're not convinced yet. That's the reason they're not concerned. Then the countdown, you remember the countdown we were talking about. We know we're in the astronaut age. All right? There was a horse and buggy, there was a car, there was an airplane, and then a rocket. Now listen, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Horse and buggy? Automobile? Hello? Airplane? Got them off the ground. That ain't all. You and I live in an astronaut age. Remember Brother Brown said it took four death messengers to eat it. We just said palm worm, cankerwort, and all those. And four life messengers to bring it back. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then the word being restored. We're sitting today under the word being restored. How privileged we are. Let's don't be horse and buggy. How many of y'all came here in a horse and buggy? Yeah, that's what I thought. So Azusa Street, Brother Branham is emphasizing the Holy Spirit came in its fullness. In other words, it came with every gift that they needed. Everything. Now watch. The Lord revealed to, now this is a one-eyed black man. This is Daddy Seymour or William Seymour. The Lord revealed to him that it was the age for the restoration of the gifts. And they come. No matter what it said, it came. But everybody got in the atmosphere of it, seeing it was that age, and seeing God vindicated that those people could speak with tongues and so forth. But then when he went and pinned it down that this is the only evidence, that killed it. Azusa Street lasted till 1915, and actually, Seymour didn't live much past that. I think he died of a heart attack, and his wife took over. And it just went after that, okay? Then they started separating this, that, making denominations, one coming on a cloud, the other one coming in a bush. Oh, there it goes. So remember, pull this apart real quick, and then we'll close and have our meeting. We'll be dismissed. And he shall turn, this is Malachi, he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. That's a promise. That was John the Baptist. That was number three, Elijah, Elisha, John the Baptist. Everybody with me? All right. He stood and said, behold, the Lamb of God. Who was he talking to? He was talking to them old Pharisees that were still under the law. Everybody with me? So the Old Testament fathers, the law. Remember, John was standing in the middle of it. He was pulling the Old Testament fathers into this New Testament way. Got it? So that fulfilled, he, John the Baptist, shall turn the heart of the fathers from the law to this New Testament babies. You want me to tell you that? God in sundry times and divers manners spake in times fast, passed unto the fathers by the prophets. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and he made the world. 1 Corinthians. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as to spiritual. Now, this is Paul meeting up with the babies again. Everybody with me? Paul's meeting up with the babies again. He can't talk spiritual, but carnal. He's in Corinth. Even as unto babes in Christ. Now, they weren't babes in the devil. They were babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife, divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? 1 Peter 2, verse 2 says, look, as newborn babes. Okay? So John did his job. He took the Old Testament law, Pharisees, and took them and put them into this new era or this New Testament, and then God sent apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to carry them on. But they had to start as babies. Everybody with me? But that was a matured word, though. It went into the ground, as we talked about in the fourth church age. It come back on Azusa Street to what? Back to untrained babies. The fathers were gone. They had left it back here. Because what's the faith of the fathers? It's the true word of God. In the first three church age, it's the true word of God. There was no denomination inside in it. It was the true word of God. Then man got involved. All right? Now then, here's me and you. Because remember, this is the second part of Malachi. And the heart. What's the heart? Soul. And the heart of the children. Back to the fathers in Pentecost. Original Pentecost. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So Brother Branham goes to Pentecostal babes and takes some to maturity. He didn't see it all. We're the mature group sitting here. I hope. I'm praying. I know. But now watch. He said, you're using the wrong end of the string. This is the angel talking to Brother Branham in the vision in 1956. And I looked down on the floor, and there laid, truly, there laid the string. Oh, went out to a nice eighth of an inch and taped down real nice. And he said, now, Brother Branham, he said, the angel said, you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. Said, you'll cause carnal impersonations. Now, that's true. We know it did. Yeah. Unfailing word of God. Now, he goes to 1964. He tells the same vision, but remember, the seals have opened. We'll end right here. Come on, you musician. The seals have been opened in 1964. So watch. He tells the same vision, but he adds something to it. Now, I remember what he promised that it would continue on. And not long ago, a vision, he promised that that pull of that line said, you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. And when I made the third pull, all right, so he's in the third pull part of his ministry. He said, I don't tell nobody about this. You've been trying to explain that other. Don't tell nobody about this. This is the great and final pull. Let's stand to our feet. He tried to teach the Pentecostals. They wouldn't listen to him. Oh, they loved the gifts. They loved all that. But they left the giver out. They kicked Brother Branham out. They kicked him literally out. Thousands down to 20 or 30 people that would even listen to him. And what did all the commentaries, even Gordon Lindsay was right there with him for about 10 or 15 years. But when Brother Brown started preaching, he left him. You ought to read that Azusa Street book. It's in there in the office. Sister Anna Marunga gave it to me a while back. But you ought to read that, how they come in, and then you had your John G. Leitch, you had F.F. Bosworth, you had Smith Wigglesworth, you had Brother Branham, you had Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, A.A. Allen. They put every one of them in there. But what in Brother Branham, they just kind of leave it at the gifts. They don't say anything about his ministry. You can't deny he had a gift of divine healing. Can't deny it. There's millions of people can't deny it. And the tapes you can't deny. But boy, when he started preaching the word of God, see, that's what separated it. Amen. When he started taking them back to the faith of the fathers, amen. When he was trying to pull them out of that Pentecostal babies business, line the gifts up. He even told the tabernacle one time, he said, when y'all get these gifts lined up, he said, something will happen. And we'll read it this afternoon where he talks about going into rapture. It keeps church clean. It takes the gifts, not just speaking in tongues, because honestly, when I say the gifts, what's the first thing you think of? Speaking in tongues, right? Amen? You think, oh, that's the last of the nine. What about wisdom? We're going to read them this afternoon. Wisdom, faith, knowledge. All those things got to be working too, and then the least of the gifts. He's speaking in tongues and interpretations. Let's sing a song. God bless you. We'll get to it this afternoon.
Oh, I am blessed.
If you have a need, real quick.
I am blessed. I am blessed.
the little time we're going to spend here to talk about the song service, Lord. I pray that you'd be with us, Lord. Thank you for giving us a wonderful group of people, Lord. And all the ones that's come, Lord, and even the ones watching on the internet, Father, we pray that you'd bless each one, Father. Just be with us now as we go eat a natural meal and come back together, Lord, take communion and foot washing and do the ordinances, Lord, that you instituted that we should do, Lord. As we see, Lord, the day approaching that we'll eat that bread and drink that cup with you in the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll have no worries, no sorrow, no headaches, no heartaches. Won't be anything to hinder us, Lord. Hasten that day, Father. We ask you blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
I am blessed.